Well, hello, hello. Welcome to the BizWord channel with your host, Hurricane H, all the way from New Jersey, the U.S. And we're pretty much with a diversified audience right now worldwide. And this is our first run for a nice, interesting talk show series we're going to be doing on the network. And this is to promote some Dubai real estate and realty and investments. And so it's really business 101, real estate investments, ROIs, and you name it, how you can make the best of the money that you have if you want to invest it. Because there's a lot of ways to invest. We hear a lot of that. Stock, this, that, put a bank, CDs, you name it. But there are real estate, you know, investments that I've been doing real estate since 96. And I can tell you, it is still the safest way to invest your money and probably the quickest way, maybe not the quickest, but certainly depends where you invest, could be a quick way to get a good ROI, because everything else is really minute percentages that you're going to get, unless, you know, you really get lucky. But in general, the luck doesn't really work in a lot of places. But in real estate, it's solid. Worst case, you can rent it out. You can do things. So we're going to talk about all that stuff, real estate today. But we are focused on the Dubai market specifically. And we have the expert that's going to guide us through how, where, what will it take? How much do I put down? I mean, all the questions you might have, we might have the answers for them, and we will have the answers for them. So eventually, if you're interested, you can actually just send us information and we'll connect you. You can also get into our Calendly, book your own time. And the next thing you know, we're, you know, talking about investment. And you don't have to be physically in Dubai, although that's ideal for you to see it. If you're watching or listening, you want to take a look at it. I have to say, I mean, we just did a pre-show about, you know, Dubai in general. It's a couple hour show. We broke it in two parts, but just to introduce what Dubai looks like and the opportunity, and there's just plenty of stuff. And it is a fascinating place. It's growing crazy. I mean, if you look at the map of Dubai 20 years to now, it's just like, it's just nonstop growing. And it's going to keep growing. So that's it. I'll keep it low, at that point. And we're going to, you know, have a lot more interactions. So I have with me, you know, our guest, speaker, host, or co-host, I would say, and our expert, you know, Monica Milkov. Monica, welcome back again, and let's do this. This is your show. This is where we actually get people closer to the opportunity that Dubai offers.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for everyone that have joined to interact with us. It will be more of an interactive show, so if everyone have any question or any suggestion, can raise his hand and can ask us during the period of us discussing all of this.
Well, we have quite a bit of people. I mean, again, you can introduce yourselves if you want. I mean, it's open. You just speak and you'll be on the screen. Or, you know, I guess if you have a question, you can just go ahead and do your thing. And it's an interactive show. So we're just having fun. We'll talk. And Monica's here. But so let's start with the first thing. I mean, why Dubai, right? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I kind of talked to just briefly that it's happening, right? But why? I mean, you've been in the market, you know how it is. Let's just bring back, I mean, I guess that's the first question that everybody has, because like, I can invest in my country, I can invest in this place, I can invest in that, but why specifically Dubai?
So we will need 6 hours to explain all of this, but I will try just to break it down for everyone to understand. So right now, in this certain moment, the Dubai real estate market and especially the Dubai economy, it's very stable. We have seen in the past 5 years, let's talk about that the economy of Dubai was not hurt with so many things that was happening. To mention it, the crisis with the COVID. Right now, some crises that are happening between another countries. The back out time of Dubai to come back standing, it's approximately 6 months. So the first thing here is the immigration. The immigration from 2020 till now, every single year, the people are coming in Dubai. So from 2020 till 2022, for example, they have moved 70,000 people. And every single 2 years, it's raising double. So right now, we have around 3.85 million of people that are residents here in Dubai. And we have seen a very big flow of tourists and people that are coming and visiting Dubai with 20 million for the 2024, for the last year. The goal for 2025 is to be 25 million people that have visited Dubai. We're not talking about the people that are transiting. We're talking about people that have come, stay in the hotels or in the short-term rentals, and they have spent time here, they have spent money to all the amenities that Dubai is giving to the people, and they have gone. If we're talking about the airport, it was one of the top three busiest airports last year, with more than 200 million people that have been through the DXB airport right now. So we have something that it's called Future About Dubai, or goals that it's the vision of Dubai. One is for 2033 and another is for 2040. What that means, it's the expansion of Dubai, all the roads, all the amenities, all the master plans, all the new businesses and the money that have been floated in Dubai. So if any crisis is happening anywhere, Dubai is the first thing that is coming to the investors or to the business people or to the families to move and to join. So I have selected, I have made a little bit of research, what is the top 15 questions that are asked for Google about Dubai, and maybe we can go through both of them. You have been here quite a times. I think we have people that have been in Dubai and people that have never been to Dubai, so maybe it will be more interesting to not be only the real estate, to be why Dubai and why to invest in Dubai in anyhow. So the first question, that was the most funniest question for me, is why is Dubai a country? Even with me, when
I'm sorry, that's funny.
Yeah, even with me and with my team, when I have new joiners, when I ask them, do you know what is and how people are thinking about Dubai like a country? So just to explain that briefly, is Dubai, it's not a country, it's a city. We have seven joint emirates in 1975. The seven emirates joined together when they have found the oil here, and they say that strongly they can work together to bring Dubai and Abu Dhabi and all the other emirates on the market like something that is powerful. The idea is that. So we have 76,000 square kilometers of territory, with which 67,000 are in Abu Dhabi, and only 4,500 it's Dubai. So if we are comparing with another places all over the world or in another cities, Dubai is quite small for some places and quite big for the others. From that side, it's asking the second question, why is Dubai so rich? And this is very interesting and topic. So maybe you, like someone that have visited, can explain to us why Dubai is rich. What do you think? Why Dubai is rich? And is it the truth?
Well, so Monica, you've put it quite a bit there. So there's a few things I just want to, you know, chime in, of course, and anyone else that's on, you know, that can join, you know, the discussion. But so again, from someone who's visited a few times, and it does appear rich, and it has quite a bit of a rich appeal. I mean, it's really on steroid. Now, of course, there's different sides to Dubai. I mean, there is you know, different levels of I guess people that reside in Dubai. I mean, from the national, you know, I guess community, to the expats that are coming from all the world, and depends on what they do, you know, executives, entrepreneurs, this, that, the other laborers. There's a lot of stuff, but there is a lot of money. I think you and I, we've talked about this before, that there's quite a bit of billionaires and millionaires, and they're multiplying by the minute. And as you said, I think one of the things is that because of all the stuff that's happening in the world, because of the way the government has been really, you know, enforcing and reinforcing safety and just the approach of like bringing in, you know, other folks from all over the world, it really became a safe haven. So people coming in, so they have money, they come in, they invest, they know their money is, you know, a good place. They're not going to have any problem to worry about someone, you know, they don't need bodyguards and guns and stuff to worry about that, which in other places, if you are a millionaire, you're going to have to worry about those right things, you know. So it's kind of like, but when you go to Dubai, folks, I mean, you will see, you know, real wealth. I mean, it's like living, you know, living in Beverly Hills on steroids. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, that's a daily thing you see. I mean, if you haven't seen a high-end car or whatever, you're going to see it there. And not just one. I mean, you're going to see a lot of stuff. And people having a very luxurious lifestyle that's happening on the now. Of course, that's happening all over the world, but it depends where you are. You know, you will see less and less, but in Dubai, it's in your face. I mean, it is, as you said, it is an emirate, it is a city, but it is, you know, growing, and it's all in, you know, it's all in a very small surface, so you cannot miss, you know, the wealth and seeing it. I mean, from luxury brands to everything else, right? So it's happening. So that's just my take. I mean, when you go there, you'll be like, wow. Hello. Hey there, Angela. All right. So so Monica, what do you think of that? I mean, I think that's a pretty, you know, clear cut. In you arrive to Dubai, you start seeing, you know, wealth.
Yeah, so I like, and I want to present something else, because I was asked from some of my friends, like for, let's say, the grocery shop. So last January, I was back home in Macedonia, and I was doing some quite groceries, and I was paying with the card that is coming on dirhams. And I have seen that the inflation in Europe, it's way more than what's happening here. So, for example, I can buy 20 to 30 pieces of groceries, and I can come home, or I can order it online, and it will be between $70 and $100. So if I go to Greece, or if I go anywhere in Europe, I cannot buy five products for the same thing. So Dubai, it's cosmopolitan. So you have from the people that are coming here and that are earning $1,000, and they're serving their own family back home, till millionaires and billionaires that have the super luxury. So you can live a different life, and you can be in a different level. It depends on you and the opportunity that you want to grab. So even me, I just come 5 years ago here, and I start from the bottom, and slowly I'm climbing up to the appetites that I have. That doesn't mean that everyone needs to be with the Rolls Royce and so many other things. But Dubai is rich because of the tourists that are coming. That is 20 million, as we mentioned before. And it's 25% of the GDP of the economy, because of the real estate, and because of the retails, like Dubai Mall and all another malls that we are having here. So every single tourist, when it comes for some attraction, it's lifting money in Dubai. It's not rich because of oil. Everyone is thinking that here we have a lot of oil. Only 1% from the GDP is oil in Dubai. The reserves are in Abu Dhabi. So that's my overview about Dubai. It's not everything bling and everything super and pink. Dubai is for everyone that want to come and have a decent life, and can reach to a certain point very fastly than all in other places, because of the things that the government is giving, like a benefits to the people.
Well, thank you, Monica. And it is impressive, because, you know, I think we've covered this before, but, you know, for anybody new. So we've had a lot of world dreams, and, you know, like we've heard of the American dreams, I've heard of the Australian dreams and European dreams, and a lot of people come from different parts of the world to places that were thriving, and where you have a chance to make it and really, you know, achieve things, you know, from, you know, having a good income to having a property, or maybe investing, having multiple, you know, starting a business, all this stuff. And in a lot of parts of the world, you might not have that opportunity. Even if you have the money, sometimes it's difficult. But what Dubai did is just it opened, you know, the the, as you said, the, you mentioned appetite, it gave the people the ability to have as much as appetite as they want. I mean, and really you can, you come in into Dubai, you have facilities, you have, you know, ease of access. You have a lot of things that can make it, you know, worth a while. And you're right. It's not the oil, although the oil is, as you said, is that's to the Abu Dhabi, which is the other thing. I mean, it's the Emirates as a whole, they have oil, but yeah. Every Emirate has its own, I guess, spin and angle, and Dubai's angle is just, it's the lifestyle, it's the economy, it's the ability to open. I mean, there's so many free zones in Dubai, for example, that's just to allow people, you know, a good spin on how to start their business. Very easy to operate, to start a business actually in Dubai. I've been doing the research myself, and I mean, it's literally, you can set up things in a couple of days and you're already like, you know, you have your corporation, you have your documents, you have your bank accounts, you have all stuff, your money is protected. I mean, it's so many things. There is no income tax on your, you know, when you're out there, you know, in Dubai. So, I mean, really, you make $5,000 is $5,000. I mean, the US, you make $5,000, you're really making $3,000 because you're paying taxes, right? So they're just some of the things, but really it's also the how easy they make it, you know, to do that. So
yeah, the bureaucracy right now in this certain moment is 0.1. They want to get it to zero. We have spoken in the previous podcast, even for the Happiness Center and all that and other stuff. The fourth question here was, is it Dubai safe for tourists?
Oh,
and imagine it's the fourth questions, and this is coming from, I want to put a point, this is coming from all the mass media around the world, that the Muslim countries are like this or like that. So we need to change that perspective, that this is the safest place 5 years in a row for kids and for women and for families. And if 3-4 years ago we were selling apartments only for the people that are single, they're coming for a couple of years here, they're making money and they're going home. Right now, the focus is mostly on the townhouses and the big apartments because people are reallocating their families. Starting from the education, if we're seeing worldwide, we have all the UK school, all the American schools, German schools, Swiss schools, French schools. So we are covering a lot of big portfolio for the kids when they want to go to schools from primary to the university, and the rates are way less than anywhere else, and the quality of the education, it's way more. It was poured more than $800 million dollars through the education the last year in the till 2033 to be set it like a hub for education. So as we mentioned before, this is a lens of bringing the brains all around the world. The sixth one, you explain it. It's, what can women wear in Dubai?
Oh, well, so I'm going to answer that one. That's pretty good. But so just again, on the same note, I mean, really, you talked about safety. Listen, I love safety, and you know, listen, I live in the States. Now, in the States, we have something called the Second Amendment, and, you know, everybody kind of has the ability to, for example, to have a gun, right? You know, it's a right, it's a privilege to have, and an honor in the US, but it also comes with the risk, because we have one of the toughest, you know, thing is that people shooting each other or shooting themselves by mistake. I mean, accidents happen with these things, right? So there's a lot of discussion, there's a lot of fight on that. So just to give you that context now versus Dubai, you know, you don't have to worry about that stuff. I mean, literally, you know, one of the most amazing things that I've noticed personally is that you get into the airport, and it's very minimal where you're going to see some authority in uniform. I mean, there's a couple of people that probably in uniform, you know, I'm talking about law enforcement, customs and stuff. They're there, but they don't have, it's not very overwhelming. You're not feeling like intimidated and things like that. You're accessing the country. It gives you the, like literally the feeling of safety up front from the gate. And I'll give you a contrast, guys, by the way. I travel a lot. So I went to Belize. This is a couple of years back. So we went to Belize City. So it's an attractive destination. But the minute we walked in into the marketplace, every store had someone, security, with a gun, whether it's a small gun or rifle, standing by. Now, as soon as I walked in there, I see that much security with so many guns, I know this is not a place that is very safe. I mean, if you need that much power to actually protect the space, yeah, it's a problem. Now, you walk into Dubai, it's the complete opposite. I mean, there is none. I mean, first of all, there's nothing you can do. You walk in, I mean, you won't even make it there if you have anything that is a speck of a weapon, right? Or some sort of an arm type. And then you walk in there, you don't feel it. The police presence is very limited. They're everywhere, but they're watching you. You know, there's cameras everywhere. It just like you can walk around knowing that you're safe. Your money is safe. Your family is safe. You're not worried about, you know, being, you know, pickpocketed and stuff. Like in some places, you go to Paris, they have signs. Pickpockets, you know, be careful, you know, in the trains, in the Eiffel Tower, you have those signs. I mean, that kind of, you know, listen, I love these places. I travel a lot and I enjoy these places, you know, but you see these things that, you know, you're afraid of. I mean, it's very scary to know that, you know, have to worry, like you have to be thinking about what's going on. You go to crowds, maybe the crowd is not safe. You could, I mean, you go to Dubai Mall, I mean, you go to the fountain. I mean, there are thousands and thousands upon thousands on top of each other trying to find a spot just to watch the fountain at night, right? Nobody's going to touch you. I mean, literally. And if someone dares, forget it. I mean, they're gone. It's before they finish, you know, they walk out of that place, somebody's going to catch them on the other side or they'll be deported. I mean, they created the environment where you live and thrive without even to worry. Now, if you have that in itself, is half of the game in any life, right? We live to be safe primarily. And so if you can't find that safety somewhere, it may be a difficult task. Now, again, a lot of countries are striving towards that, but they just haven't been able to make it to the level. And Dubai was able to do that. So that's one. Now let's talk about what you said about the dress code. You know, I'm Muslim, so you know, and I come from Morocco. It's a very contemporary, you know, state as well, you know, country. So we have a little bit of, you know, religious aspect of it, but there's also modernized, you know, Morocco, and it's contemporary. But when you go to Dubai, I mean, Dubai is like a hybrid world between the West and the Middle East, the West and Islam, the West and the Arabic culture. It's all, you know, mixed in and mingled in well. There is no problem. You want to dress in a veil and doing, you know, the traditional way, no problem. You want to dress so westernized, no problem. You go to the beach, people are in bathing suits. You know, you go to the mall, people are dressed up in very fancy, you know, Chanel and you name it brands out there, you know, Christian Dior stuff. So it depends on how, you know, you look at it, but it's all available and there is no contradiction there. Everybody is coexisting. I mean, I'll give you an example. This is my personal experience, and I'm happy to share this because it was really, when I went the first time there, it kind of like, wow. So we were in the Global Village. You know, so Global Village is a nice little, you know, it's like Epcot Center in Orlando, you know, but on a different angle, right? So it's worldwide. You have all these mini pavilions where people, you know, sell their, you know, I guess customer, you know, the custom, you know, products of their country. So you have anything. Yeah. Almost every country in the world is represented there in a small way. And so you go there. And so now there's music playing and it's festive. And here comes prayer time. And I'll give you this example. So prayer times, music stops. They have big signs. It is time for prayer. So all the Muslims, you know, that want to go pray, they're going to pray peaceful. They do this stuff. And then 5 minutes later, music goes back. Life goes on and everything else. So the reason I mentioned this example, you know, so it is a Muslim country. It respects its own. But at the same time, it's open to everybody and nobody feels offended or anything because everybody is still having a good time, you know, respecting each other, working together in harmony. And that's actually a beautiful thing. You know, when you can see that it can coexist in this format, I mean, it gives you a thriving opportunity. And here's the other thing. I think there are more non-Muslims than Muslims in Dubai today. Am I even wrong with those statistics? I mean,
maybe.
I mean,
we have a lot of, it's not only the Muslim world. We have a lot of
Hindus.
And yeah, I was talking with one of my friends and my colleagues that have kids, and they were like, it's starting with the kids that they are celebrating every single holiday in school. So because everyone is mixed nationalities and there is two different opinions. There is people that saying, oh, but they will not know our Arabic country or our Balkan country or European country. And you have another people, I'm happy that the kid is raising in the multicultural so he can know how to be later on in the corporate job or in the businesses and so on and so forth. So always we have two sides of discussion about this kind of things. The next one is, can we drink alcohol in Dubai? That's the seventh. So a lot of people are concerned about the alcohol in Dubai. So yes, you can drink in the every single club or every single restaurant. It's inside the hotel or inside the mall, right? So, where is the license for the alcohol? So you can drink there. You can buy only when you're a tourist, or you need to have paper when you're buying from a certain markets, alcohol markets. We don't have alcohol in the supermarkets or everywhere in every single corner. But it's easy accessible for whoever want to enjoy about it. Every year, slowly, slowly, it's if 5 years ago on Ramadan, for example, everything was closed and you cannot eat outside and so on and so far. Slowly, slowly, the culture here is changing to be multicultural for everyone and to be accessible for easy for everyone when
Well,
we
that's a
come
big.
for the alcohol side. And it's
Well,
a
that's a.
big, big, big step
It
for the Muslim
is a big
culture.
question, right? You know, I mean, alcohol is part of the non-Muslim tradition, right, in general. And but while it is limited, restricted, it is accessible to whoever wants it. So that's kind of like what it is. So again, talking about coexistence, I mean, it is happening in a way that you want to drink. You're a tourist, you can go to places where that's available, or you can just get your ID and you can go purchase it based on whatever those locations are. And people know where they go and they do it, and it's not affecting them. You know, I mean, you're gonna go to store if you're in Europe, you're gonna go to store anyways. The difference is just you just have to prove. By the way, even in the States, you have to show ID if you want to buy alcohol because you cannot buy under 21. So at the end of the day, you still have an ID to show things, right? So kind of the same thing. But for those people that's important to them, you know, I can tell you, I mean, all the expats in there, they party, they drink, they do the stuff, but they do it on with the rules of the land, and it's not impacting them. They're not feeling restrictive or anything. So again, for those people that may think, oh my God, you know, I want to lose my traditions. No, you're not. I mean, you're gonna have your own lifestyle, and that's the thing. So it is, again, it's an open environment to everyone. And you know, as we have a say, like you have your religion, we have our religion, that kind of concept. So that applies in real time in Dubai. There's no conflict there. So what's the next question?
Oh, for the next one, it's how many languages do we speak in Dubai?
All
The
right, go for it.
last, because I like numbers, the last information that I have is 128. If we exclude all the languages that people are speaking in India or the dialects that they have inside India, so 128 different. You don't need to study on Arabic if you're coming for studying, or to study on English if you're speaking only French. There is a place for everyone. You don't need to be Arabic speaker. Like when you're going to Germany and you want to live and you want to stay there, you need to know German or Sweden or any another Western country. So yes, we have joke with my friends, the English, even for the UK people and for the people that are speaking pure English in Dubai. English level, it's coming every single day lower and lower. And there is a lot of funny stories about it.
Well,
What is the currency used in Dubai? It's for you. And
so
let me
I'm
see if you have the new news about it, how much updated you are about the currency.
I think you're gonna beat me to that one. So I didn't know there was a news there, but hey, but just a couple of things on the languages alone. I mean, you know, I've had actually that question myself, like, you know, because when I talk to people, it's like, why, but they speak Arabic over there, like. Actually, they do, but they don't. I mean, really, I walk in, I barely speak Arabic in that country, and I do speak it, and I speak multiple dialects, but I really don't have to. I mean, yeah, you can see the signs, everything is in English and or Arabic, but really, you don't have to worry about the language. Everybody speaks English, pretty much. You go to store, you go to a restaurant, you go to the street, the cabs. I mean, wherever you are, English is the primary language. So I'm not even, that's like international, you know, hop. That's it. You go in. That's it. Now, of course, there's all kind of these languages and dialects that you said, but people talk amongst themselves, but when they communicate with the rest, it's all in English. So it doesn't matter. Your services are all provided in the world language today, which is English. Now, as far as the currency, I know it's the dirham. I mean, that's what it is. It was $364. That's kind of like how we look at it from the US, you know, and that's
We
pretty
have a
consistent.
new currency sign. So how is the dollar like this with
Well,
S? We have now dirhams with D. And
saw that. I did see that. So now it's an official, you know.
Official. And it was very interesting. I was ordering some food on noon, and I'm like, okay, I'm in Dubai noon, or I'm maybe in Saudi noon. And after that, when I read that is the official, and when we are on the currency side, it's very important to mention from the real estate and for investment side why people are bringing the money to Dubai and why they're investing here. Since 1975, the dollar, it's 3.86 for conversion in the dirham. So even me, when I go to Europe, we are usually using euros, but I'm changing dollars because I'm not losing in the conversion. And it's the same when you're bringing money from Canada, from USA, from all over the world, the inflation and the currency going up and down, like the lastly with happened with Iran and so many other countries, here it's staying stable. That is agreement between the both currencies, and in the past, what, 50 years already, it's exactly the same. And right now, with a lot of, maybe you can discuss from that side, with a lot of turbulences that are happening in USA, we have massively bringing people. And as I see, the 2024, the top five continents that they have invested in real estate, first is the West Europe, after it's Asia, and after that, it's coming UK and USA together. So it's giving a lot of impact economy-wise when you have something regulated like that, and you feel safe even from that certain side.
You know, I mean, currency is always a big deal, right? And it goes up and down. So even with the dollar in Europe, right, you know, and the euro, right? We had this ongoing battle. You Canada dollar versus US dollar, there's always this thing, who is beating the other one? Sometimes the US is higher, lower. With euro, you know, it goes up and down. Sometimes they're equal. It's been a very, you know, high roller coaster. It's just nonstop. But to your point, now listen, I've been, you know, to Dubai for the last few years, and it's the same, you know, number. I go in and I always use the current currency when I do transactions. So I don't use the dollar. I say just UAD, and that's what they do. Boom. And I get the best transition or transaction, you know, if you want to call it that way, in terms of currency conversion, and I'm good. And actually it's perfect. So I don't feel, as a matter of fact, I feel good. My money looks good there. So it gives me more power, you know, if you want to, consider it that way. And even the purchasing, I mean, it's, you know, they're things that are a little expensive when you compare them, but it depends where you part of the world you're in. I mean, some part, like for example, maybe clothing, things like high brands, whatever, the values can be a little higher. Depends where you're in. Like if you have, for example, in the States, when it comes to, you know, clothing and stuff, we have a lot of sales going on, things like that. And some of the brands are local, so they have, you know, you can get a better or cheaper price here. But it's all, you know, it's all a perspective how you look at it. I mean, there's places where you can purchase things at the same price. Sometimes it's higher. And again, like everywhere else, you go to a tourist area, it's one thing. You go to local areas, you're going to get a better price. I mean, the people that live in Dubai, they don't go shop in the mall every day.
In Dubai mall.
Exactly. They have their own places. But it is an experience when you go there. I mean, I have to say, like, it's funny because there's so much stuff to do in Dubai, and it's huge. There's, like, you cannot.
That's
like
the next question.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you know my list?
Well, you know, like, I'm psychic.
But I think before we come to the 10th question, maybe we can include someone from the guests and ask.
Yeah, I was about to ask you. They've been quiet.
So it will. We know that they're not sleepy from us.
All right, who's gonna
be volunteer?
All we can select. No, I'm just kidding. Anyone? Come on, I'm sure you have questions. Or add comments, things that you think that will be valuable to the discussion.
Uh-oh.
You know, it's amazing, right? People, this is difficult, you know, even in business, you know, meetings and stuff. Most people don't like to talk as much. They just listen and just kind of stay quiet.
Maria have one, yeah. You can write it if you want, or you can just... put yourself on and ask us.
Let's see.
Which are the most promising area in Dubai investment?
Oh, powerful question.
The tough one.
Well, that's for you, Monica. You know the territory.
Yeah. So I will just repeat the question. It's which are the most powerful, promising area in Dubai real estate investment. So we have seen that in the past, and I know, and I have this saying, 85% from the real estate market or for the real estate projects in Dubai will not appreciate anymore. They will have a good rental yield, but they will not have a capital appreciation. When we're mentioning and people are like, wow, wait a second, why you are saying that? I will base that all in numbers. If we're talking about when we are coming like a tourist and we're when we're visiting for the first time and we want to invest, everyone, the first thing that is coming in their mind is downtown or Marina or JBR or Palm Jumeirah or GLT or Diera. So all of these areas are already 25 years on the market. So how we are getting capital appreciation in the market, there is four ways that I'm always mentioning. The first one is you need to buy when there is sand only. So nothing is there, only the roads are there, maybe the future metro lines and everything else from the infrastructure is pointed from the government that will be there, and nothing else is there. So because of that simple thing, if we want to go right now and invest in downtown, we have seen in downtown capital appreciation of more than 400%. So the 400% is how? If you bought apartment in 2013, one bedroom apartment in Address downtown, you have bought it for 2.3 million. Right now, the price is more than 10 million, depends on which floor is it. So we have seen a growth of 400%. So whoever have bought it in the time from 2013 till 2016 have made it the most out of it. Why? In that certain time, Dubai Mall was just open. There was not a lot of restaurants, a lot of schools, a lot of markets, a lot of brands. The fountain was not there, so slowly, slowly, downtown was growing through the process. So that's the second option when the capital appreciation is there, and that's the infrastructure of the community or of the area. So if you're asking me right now what will be the next downtown, 100% it will be on the south, because the country is moving slowly, slowly. On the south means MR South, Dubai South, Palm Jebel Ali, all the new communities that are coming from the site of Abu Dhabi. The goal is Abu Dhabi and Dubai to be connected together. So it will not be gap between both of them or industrial industrial zone. So the port will be moved from Mina Rashid or for Maritime City. It will go to Palm Jebel Ali, and there will be the biggest airport that will be that will have capacity of 200 million people per year. That can be a turnaround. And right now, already around 5,000 people are employed and are working in the airport. So slowly, slowly, the most promising areas are going on that side. If we're talking about underrated areas that are already under construction, I will mention it Creek Harbor, and I will mention it MBR City or Mohammed bin Rashid City. They are still didn't get their peak. There is no malls around them. There is no a lot of schools around them. So it will come like a communities, like a gated or not gated communities. It will pick up from the site of a downtown. But everything that is going on the south, I think it's the best option in this certain moment.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, this is where if you want to invest low and yield later, by the time these properties are ready and open and these sections are finalized, I mean, you're going to have plenty of gain. I mean, because there's no, you know, you're taking it at the lowest point of entry, right? So everything else is a buffer.
So we need to mention that you can enter Dubai just to cover the Dubai expensive, Dubai is like this, Dubai is like that. So the average prices for 2024 was $350 per square feet. If we compare with a lot of the biggest cities in the world, that is still very, very underrated. A lot of people will be speaking about bubble. We will wait the prices to be corrected. Guys, I'm sorry to say, but it will not happen any soon, because we have problem with supply and demand. We have 350 people come to live here, and we have only 37,000 units that we are giving this 2025 to be ready. So we are in shortage because we want to have 7 million people till 7 to 8.6 million people till 2040. So in the next 15 years, we want to double the population, and we can do that if it's every year going and raising like it's still now. So about all of that, we can you can leave your details and everything that that you have. We can share with you the bubble index and all the details about the market for 24 and 25, what will be happening. We have one more question. I think again it's for me.
Yeah. Yep.
Can you earn a lot of money with booking Airbnb and did the companies can take care of apartment if you're not located in Dubai? And this is Maria. Oh, I'm coming from tourism background. I have worked for 5 years back home for an Austrian company. And for sure, they will be watching this. And I would like to say thank you for all of them that I start my career with the tourism. It helped me so much in the real estate. So Airbnb, I have my own Airbnb, and yes, if you're not coming to Dubai, you can purchase a apartment. We can take care about the property management. If anything happened in the apartment inside, needs something to be fixed or something to be taken care of, we can do that, and we can get a short-term rental that will be taking care about all the bookings, all the stuffs for you. You need only to sign a couple of papers that you are giving this certain apartment for. Expect a time of period, and if we need to compare the rental yield between the long-term rental and the short-term rental, long-term rental it's from 6 to 14%, short-term rental is coming from 15%, all over 30% can reach, depends on the unit and the view and how good is the company that is working on the short-term rental.
Thank you, Monica. Maria, I hope that answers it. It sounds pretty promising, right? I mean, listen, folks, I mean, Airbnb is big around the world. And even if it's not Airbnb, I mean, you have short-term leases, right? You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, they have apps all over. I mean, Dubai is known with its apps. I mean, you have to have a series of apps on your phone just to operate, from Careem to Dubizzle to this to the other. I mean, there's so many, you know, Dubai Life. I mean, there's so many of them, and each one of them gives you plenty of opportunity to operate and stuff. But always, you know, for real estate, I always say this, you know, whether in the States, I mean, you ask an expert. I mean, we have Monica and team. If you're watching and listening, you have a question, you need access, you want to actually have a short-term place, maybe instead of going to a hotel, maybe we can, you know, get you in, you know, whatever time frame you're going to be there, a week, 10 days, whatever, there's opportunities there as well. You probably get more for your buck. And so there's opportunities, and then you can see it for yourself. There's that kind of, you know, approach that we have here. So this tag team is going to make it work for you. What else? So I do have a question, Maria. I mean, Maria has just entered now, but I do have a question, Monica. I mean, I have a few questions that I've collected, but one of them is a very interesting one, because I think that's a big one for a lot of us in the world. And what it says, basically, how does Dubai's zero property tax and zero capital gains structure impact my total return on investment, the ROI, compared to the US and Europe? That's a pretty big one. And you know, being in the US, you living in Europe, we kind of know how our markets kind of like work in these two parts of the world, right? I can tell you, for example, in the US, just to answer, and then, you know, Monica, you take it over. It's bad for us here. If you buy a property and you invest in, let's say you have your primary residence and you buy an investment property and you want to flip it, well, you have less than 2 years to reinvest the money, or you're going to have capital gains that you have to pay on. The only time you may not have capital gain, if you lived in a property that's your residential over 5 years, and let's say you and your spouse lived there, then you have up to $500,000 plus, you know, everything that you invested, you know. But typically, if you're just investing, you will pay capital gain, you know, and you pay taxes. I live in Jersey, in the States, and I have to tell you, we have the second highest taxed, you know, real estate property in the States. So I mean, it's literally, you can pay your mortgage and have a paid house, and you're still gonna pay your taxes in Jersey, you know, over the remainder of the year. And here's a funny thing: if you don't pay them, you know, it gets to auction and you lose your property even if you paid it off, you know, if you can't pay your taxes. So that's how crazy it is in terms of tax, you know, setup. Now, by the way, I get it. In the States, there is a reason for those taxes. I mean, obviously, it offsets a lot of things. But you know, for an investment property, to have that risk of, you know, when you need to pay all this stuff, additional, you know, all the time and stuff, and it's not your money, like you pay, it's done, right? That's the difference in Dubai. We don't have that here. And I think Europe is the same, right, Monica? I mean, from your experience?
Not that much. I think the
not as crazy.
USA, it's a little it's a little bit, yeah, more. But yes, we have tax on our earnings. First, we have tax on the every property that we have, but not in the way that you guys are having it. But again, it's if we go to the European Union, because our country is not in European Union, if we step out, the taxes are similar to USA, and especially if we're talking about UK, and if we have someone from UK, they can tell us how crazy it's becoming there too. So here, if we compare to Europe, then if I'm taking $1,000 salary in Dubai, that 1,000 are coming to my bank account, like 1,000. If I'm back home, then I will get a 600, and 400 will be going to the health and insurance and retirement and so on and so far. So about purchasing property, we have the only thing that we are paying here, it's the Dubai Land Department. When we are purchasing the property, we are paying 4% registration fee. What is that registration fee for? It's to explain to all the public that don't know, it's a registration fee that is paid only one time. And you're not paying yearly or monthly till you get the property. When someone else buy it from you, he will need to change the title deed or the name of the owner to their own name, and they will be paying the 4% DLD. What is the DLD standing for? It's in a lot of moments in the crisis in 2008, a lot of developers, they didn't deliver the project to the clients, or a lot of clients, they didn't pay to the developers, and they was wanting to take the apartments from them and start renting it and doing it so on and so far. So we know that this is a very young country. It's 53 years old. And in the last 25 years, it's built everything that you are seeing behind me and everything that you are seeing behind Hisham. So why it's that much important to not pay everything? Because the real estate market is growing, and it's getting for every single person everything. So I was just talking to one of my agents, was having some requests, and I say, do you know that like your client can have apartment for $90,000? And they're like, no, how? Wait, why? So here, when you're buying under construction, and the most of transactions in the 2024, like 160 billion are made in the under construction department, not in the ready properties. Ready properties around 67 billion. Why? Because we are building new communities, we are building new apartments, new areas, and we are expanding slowly to the south and to the west from the another side. So we right now don't have any tax on the income, any tax on the property. We have a corporate tax of 9% that is, again, very low comparing to a lot of another countries. And we have a 5% VAT tax. Like, it's only 5%. If we are comparing to Europe, for example, if you go to Greece, you have a 23% VAT tax. If you go to Macedonia, you have 5% on certain things, 18% on another things. So again, we have only 5% for everything in this certain moment, no matter what you're buying. So the taxes are way less than everyone else. So we need to just to take a couple of countries and compare it mathematically. And if someone is interested in that, I'm again happy to have a 101 and explain the taxes with them.
Well, you know, thank you for that. I mean, listen, you mentioned the 4% for the LDL, right? You know, but here's the thing. There is every place in the world, if you buy, you know, property, you're going to register the property. So that in itself, you're going to pay a percentage of whatever it is, and it's an amount that you're going to pay up front. That's not even your taxes. I mean, you know, so that 4% is really standard across the world. No matter where you are, you're going to pay it because you need to register your property. So you have the deed, the documents and all the stuff. But once you do that, you're done. You see, that's at least for the property. Now you move in your property, you rent it, whatever, your income is your income. That's the other thing. You're making income. If it's a business, as you said, and you don't make $100,000, you know, net a year, then you don't even pay those 9%. And if you make over $100,000, so no big deal. You pay 9%, you're already making profit. So it's a win-win. You know, that's kind of like, you know, the opportunity here. It's tech, you know, it's just amazing. And then, of course, if you're making a salary, as you said, you know, your money is yours 100%. I mean, we only have a couple of states where you have, actually, we have similar of that when it comes to the income tax, no income tax. But typically in the states, you pay city tax, state tax, federal tax, all kind of taxes, real estate tax, plus you have, you know, your sales tax, whatever you go, which is the VAT, you know, in Dubai. So it's those things. And again, we're comparing market to market here or markets to market, just to show you that the value that you have. So from an investment perspective, it's money. You put it in, you will gain money. In very short time. I mean, in the US, if you invest in a property, you might wait a few years before you even see a 10% ROI, right? In Dubai, you're still on the plan and you're probably by the phase two and phase three, as we discussed before, you're already up there. The market is like, and especially as you mentioned now with the South being the next wave of building and all these new things. I mean, people are not seeing it yet, but guess what? That's the same thing that happened. We go about 5-10 years ago, people didn't realize how it's going to be. And now where we are. And you can't even find a speck of a property that is not.
Yeah, we can compare a couple of projects, so it will be more interesting, maybe for the people. So we have, for example, Dubai Hills, that was like 7-8 years old. It was very underrated, and we have sold it, for example, even at 6 years ago, a 3-bedroom property called Maple in Dubai Hills for 1.6 million. Right now, that same townhouse, it's not even a villa, it's a townhouse, it's 5.7, the cheapest one that we was able to find it for one of our clients. So if we're comparing even for the villa in the same community, Sidra was sold for 3.3 million, now it's more than 10 million. Okay, some people will say Dubai Hills is something that is special and it's something that is different than anywhere else. We mentioned it already for downtown, but let's go even to the low investments that have been done here. Let's go with JVC, for example. A couple of years ago in JVC, you was able to buy a studio for 300,000-400,000. Right now, you cannot find studio that is less than 750. So the appreciation in the past 5 years, it's around 46% for any area that was under construction. And it's the same thing what will be happening, and it's already happening with the South. When we were selling Urbana apartments in MR South, it was around 600,000. Right now, the townhouses that we are selling there is 3.5 million. So the moment that we were selling and we was needing to go 53 minutes from downtown to MR South, when we go for a viewings. That certain time, the roads was not there, it was not the connection, was the same will be happening with the valley. Now everyone is saying, oh, it's too far away. No, it's not far away because it's on E66 and have 8 lanes to drive. If you're in Sheikh Zayed, it's a little bit crowded, no matter which time of the day you'll be going somewhere. But when you're going to the new road that have 6 lanes and now they're building 2 more, from the side, so 8 lanes and 8 from another side is 16. Literally from downtown to valley, you can reach in 23 minutes. If you're seeing it on the Google Maps, maybe it will show. But the future and everything else that this royal family and this government have promised, they have delivered every single thing till now. So that means that they want to build the full Dubai like a 20-minute city. And they are massively doing infrastructure, and that will be the case very soon. So every single new development that we are seeing, for example, on Palm Jebel Ali, when people bought it, Palm Jumeirah Villas, it was 5 million, 7 million. Right now, Palm Jumeirah Villa, you cannot find it less than 40 million. It will be same with Palm Jebel Ali. So the history, it will be repeating. Why? Because people already have proven and they have made money here. So whoever have buy a unit, even that's a small unit, or whoever have a rented unit, a sublease the unit, I'm following a couple of people. When Mari asked me about the Airbnb, they have started 1 year ago with one unit that they are subleasing, and after they're doing for Airbnb. Right now, the guy is signing his 49th unit. Nowhere in the world you can do that fast business in over a year. And everything is documented, and he's documented every single step on his Instagram. And that's how I follow him. And I see even he's posting all his profits, all his losses in certain periods, everything that he has struggled. So he's educating people. It's the same thing that me and you are doing it today. And we will be doing it every Sunday. So we can educate people about the investments, not only in real estate, any other investment that they want to do it, not only in Dubai, maybe in Middle East.
You know, thank you, Monica. There's a couple of things I want to just touch on, and we have new guests, and I'm not sure if they want to join, but certainly, you know, just come on, just hop in if you have a question. But in the meantime, so I know you refer to millions and millions and millions, and I just want to make sure that we're talking dirhams for those that are watching around Europe and, yeah, and the States. It's not $1 million, but it will add up to $1 million. When you're talking about 4 million, is about, you know, $900,000, you know, close to $1 million, you know, US dollars. But just to give you an indication, so in conversion, you know, everything is millions in Dubai when you're talking to real estate, but we're talking, you know, 2 million, whatever, 1.5, you know, a million, you know, dirhams. So again, divide by 360 or 380, depends on the market value.
386, yeah.
386, there you go.
So, in dollars.
So if you do that, then you know what we're talking about. But it is still, you know, pretty hefty. Now, compared to the States, depends where you are. For example, I'm just going to talk about the market in the US. You know, like I'm in Jersey, depends what part of Jersey. I mean, the properties can be anywhere, $1 million. You know, I mean, I think where I am right now in this area, at least in Jersey, $500,000 plus is your, I mean, the smallest house probably is $600,000 right now. It's, and I'm not saying it's the best area. It is just, I mean, there's areas where, you know, it's $5 million, $6 million properties. So it's actually, you know, times four, almost 3.86. So it's a lot of money, you know, when you're talking about that. But here's another thing I think you mentioned, Monica, that's very interesting. You know, as you said about this whole thing about the distance, right? You know, I live about 45 minutes from New York City. And I'm comfortable with that. I don't have a problem, you know, commuting to say when I need to. So yeah, I want to go to downtown, you know, Dubai. You can travel from all over the place, right, to it. That's one. Two, as you said, the infrastructure is building every day. These highways are massive. Highways are being put in. You have also trains now that are connecting different parts of the, you know, the Emirates, period. And then you have also the subways that are extended, you know, their reach. So transportation is not high. Now you're talking about the port, you're talking about the airport. And another thing that people may not realize, that for me personally, imagine living between Dubai and Abu Dhabi in about 20 minutes each way. I mean, to me, now that's like the best of all worlds. I mean, think about it, right? Now, some people may not see it as a big thing, but Abu Dhabi is beautiful too if you go there, right? I mean, I've been there. It's nice. So you can have that. And actually, that's like your way of, you can go up to Qatar from that side, I guess. And that's going north, right? If I'm not mistaken, right? Well, south.
Yes.
But I think you can swing from there up.
You can, you know, go to Qatar, to Oman, to Saudi, to anywhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, with the Emirates Road is connecting all the Emirates and GCC countries.
But think about it, right? I mean, it's like you're getting closer to the main hubs, right? I mean, first of all, if the airport is there, that's the biggest one. You're probably going to land there if you come into Dubai, right? So that's boom, that's one. And then you can transit one way or the other. You can spend the day in Abu Dhabi and come back. I mean, it's that kind of thing. Now, yes, there are different Emirates. They have different slight rules. But at the end of the day, it's like if you're on the other side, actually, of Dubai, like downtown, you know, you're closer to Sharjah, right? So you're closer to the other, yeah, side of the other Emirates. So it depends where you are, but that's how it is. So it gives you opportunities. So, and you're talking about Airbnb. I mean, I have to say, for example, in the US, in New York, for example, they made it very difficult for Airbnbs because of hotels and the industries competing against the Airbnb. So it became very restricted and regulated. In Dubai, at this at the moment, it's not competing against the hotels. The hotels are full because, again, there's an influx.
Yeah, we don't have 85%. It's the occupancy in the past quarter. So if we take a quarter one, and now, and people are usually asking, oh, what time we need to come to Dubai? Is it very hot? So, it's hot, it's the most hot in July and August, like everywhere else in the world when they have four seasons. But from September till May, it's 10 months of season, that 9 months of season that you can be there here. And depends of the nationality and it depends of your needs. It's very diversified for what you want to do here, because we have from skiing in Mall of Emirates till going to the desert from another site in Sharjah. So it depends which tourist attractions you want to see it here, and what's the idea and what's the goal. Okay, you want to go to Mykonos, we bring Mykonos in the mark. You want to go to Hawaii, we
Venice.
have Hawaii from another side. So the moment is all the money to stay here in one place, do not be going outside, and there is something for everyone, no matter how much money you have right now or how much money you will have after many years. We need just to understand and bring you a little bit more to you, is that you don't need $1 million to buy a property. You need in the beginning a 20% of the value of the property to start having a property. After 20% payment to the developer, you are getting something that is called sales purchase agreement. And that is a document that is saying that this apartment is on your name. So if we say that you are buying something for $100,000, you need a $20,000 to put it in, and after that you have a payment plan from 3 to 5 to 8 years, depends of the project. So this is something that we need to explain to you, that you don't need all the money to start buying and investing in Dubai and to get all the benefits. You are need to tell us how much is your comfortable amount that you want to spend every single year for investment, like you are doing for crypto, or you're doing for this or for that investment, or for business, or for anything else. And we can advise you what is the best for you. We have payment plans with 1%. We have houses for 1% payment during 40 payments. That is something like same like you get mortgage, but you're not paying an interest rate. The interest rate is around 4% right now for the mortgages. And everyone can get mortgage even if you're not here, but you need to prove the funds that you are getting in your own country. There was a lot of question about opening accounts and opening bank accounts, all of that stuff we can help you with, not only with the real estate. So you can open a bank account, you can get your income here in Dubai, you can set up a company in 48 hours, you're not paying tax. So it look like a dream when we're talking about, but we have said the pros and cons. When you're here in Dubai, you will need to run like a lion or like a gazelle. Every single morning when you wake up, you need to make the choice, because if you don't, there is a lot of people that are doing that. So you can give up and go back to your home country and do everything that you want to do. But if you are ambitious and you have an appetite to win and to succeed, there is a chance for everyone. That is something that is way missing right now in Europe, for example.
Well, thank you, Monica. And you know, it's funny because you talked about this part about the investment itself and the numbers. But that's a beautiful thing because yes, a lot of people don't like interest, for example, or they just cannot pay a 30. I mean, a mortgage in the States is 30 years. I mean, that's like you're committed to 30 years of paying in a house, right? That's your average. I mean, you may get 15. You know, that's one option. We have a guest, Becky. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Becky. Any question for us?
Not really. I just joined now.
Okay,
Maybe
well,
I'm
welcome.
during the. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. Yeah, so I was saying, you know, the idea of the breakdown, right? You put in 20% down and then you have a 1% monthly payment and, you know, 5 3 4 5 years to 8 years, and then it's paid to the developer and you're basically done. But I think you didn't mention one thing, Monica, is that you will be able to Becky, can I ask you to mute your phone, because this way you're hold on, let me see if I can do
Yeah,
it. Yeah,
done.
thank you. So what I was saying is the idea is you can literally cash in or flip your property. What is it, at 30%, right? So if you put 20% to another 10%, and you can flip that if it has value and then reinvest. I mean, am I getting that correct, do you know, Monica?
Yeah, depends of the developer. Depends on which developer we are talking about, but usually yes, it's some developers are after 24%, some are 34, some are 44. That depends how you are paying the payment plan. If something is very near to completion, like if it's 26, for example, you have the payments faster. If something is ready 29, that we have a different payments. So of course, like any other market, there is a risk, there is a fluctuations, there is a ups and downs. That's why the government and everyone else that is here, including me and all my team, we're trying to give the best service and to educate the people, because we are working this 16 hours a day and we have all the informations that you cannot read, see on YouTube or an advertisement on LinkedIn or so on and so far. We are getting in touch with the clients every single day from different nationalities. So about the transfers and how to bring the money and everything to be legit and to not be having problems with your own country and to not have an income tax in your own country if you're purchasing something here. We have experts about it and we can discuss if there is any questions from that.
I know we're coming to the end of this show, but we'll catch up. We'll have to come back next week. But here's the thing. Someone wants to invest right now, at least to get started. What would they need? I mean, really, you know, you have a lot of projects going on and you have some hot ones. Next week we'll touch more on the new projects that are available. I think LDW and a few more. And I know you work with pretty much everyone, but you have some specific, you know, developers that you kind of work more with. They have a lot more presence and real good real estate, you know, angles. But like, I know there is a minimum thing that you can literally put it down to just kind of lock in your intent of a property. At least it holds, you know, a parcel or a building or a unit for you. And then you can start, you know, making the plans, and then the rest of it is history. That's one. And the other one is maybe, you know, talking about the options of someone that's not coming to Dubai or someone that wants to come and visit and to take a look at the real estate. What would you say to them?
So the future in the Bali real estate market looks very promising, and the focus to being a sustainable city, all the mega events that are being happening here, all the AI tools that will be are being happening here, all the crypto things and everything else, it will be evolving year by year. And the supply and the demand, it's truly regulated from the government, because as we mentioned before, we can build the buildings way faster than now. So it depends on the client. When you're buying in Dubai, it's nothing about buying a property. It's about buying a safety, buying a piece of lifestyle, buying something in a global city that is very limited, and it's becoming number one in every single point year by year. So living here, it's motivating you to be better every single day. Even if you're not living here, you know that you cannot lose. You can only gain. You can anytime sell the apartment for the price that you have bought it. So you can literally don't lose anything. Like every business here, there will be some corrections about the rental incomes, because they have been flight in the past 3-4 years for 50%, are already up. That means that that will be correct a little bit through the market and the norms that the government have put it in. And my advice to everyone that is interested to go through a lot of research, to choose a agent that will know what he is doing, for to be a trust local partner, and to understand the dynamic of this real estate market, because I have tried in the past 5 years to get to understand the other markets and how they work. If we buy something in UK right now, we need 3 months till we get the apartment legally with all the paperwork and everything to us. And we are losing 3 months of that amount. If you're buying apartment that is ready here in Dubai, you are going to the trust office, and from next day you can already rent the apartment and start earning money. So about the projects, I depends of the client, and depends how much money he can pour in these certain projects. If you're coming with $2 million, I will tell you, if you're new to the market, I will tell you, start with a smaller unit, experience the market, understand everything, and after it's easy for you to go from one to another place, to flip it, to rent it, to resell it, and so on and so far.
But
decide wisely with who you are working with, because there is a 60,000 agents right now on the market, and you have access to reach to the ones that are professionals, that are knowing the game, that have a connection, that can get you a good unit, that are not working only to get the money with them, but they are working on building a relationship with you and portfolio. So from starting from one unit, you get two, from two, you get four, and you're multiplying in the future, so you can make a good investment for you and for your family too.
Well, I want to just add to that. I mean, I don't do this, lightly. I mean, I didn't just meet Monica and set up this type of show with her, because I have a lot of access to many other agents that literally solicit, and I've been looking at real estate myself. So I, when you put in, request, I mean, you get like tens of people that actually want to show you houses and stuff. And frankly, I've done a couple of them, and certainly Monica and I, we connected well, we developed this relationship, and I felt personally that she will be plenty to actually help anyone watching or listening to get us into that. And we're a partner in this venture here to really get people, into the right place for the right investment at the right time with the right stuff and legitimate 100%. There is no gimmicks and stuff, and everything is protected. It's all government, regulatory. So that's one thing. So I made, the choice to be with Monica because I do trust her personally and know that, there will be no games and stuff, and you'll get the best because she's dedicated. Now listen, we're on Sunday and she's dedicated to do this. I haven't seen other people doing this on a Sunday, at night, let alone.
Thank you so much for the compliments.
Well, it is a fact.
I appreciate that. And that is something that you can stay on this market and you can be one of the best players only if you're dedicated and if you're not thinking about your own goals, you're thinking about your client goals. So you, every single time, if you're not in right certain moment right now to invest in real estate, you can recommend any of your friends or any of your family that is interesting in it. And we're happy to share our partial of the cake with you so you can build your own portfolio. When I say there is opportunities in Dubai, there is always opportunities that you can make it something if you want to. So there is me and I have a 15 people in the team. So if I'm not available, someone from the team, depends of the languages and depends of the requirement, will be assisting you in anytime. Hisham will be sharing the calendar that we have, like a 30-minute one-to-one scheduled meetings. If someone wants just to ask us to get to explore and to meet us personally, it will be shared maybe here in the chat or later on our Instagrams or LinkedIn's profiles. So you will be able to access us. My all platforms are same like how I'm here right now, Monica Milkov, everywhere about all platforms. Hisham, it's Hurricane H. I need to get some interesting nickname.
Oh, you're Monica the Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
All right, so I put the Cambly link. This is actually if you want to book, your time with in one-on-one and discuss it. But we'll have it also on this description show because this is going to be replaying also on the radio. So whatever you see the show, you'll be able to do it, and it will be recurrent, so you can book your own time. And also, if you're on Instagram and you DM Invest Me or ROI, you'll come to us, and then we can certainly, have this discussion, more privately and about your own terms, your vision, your time frame, and all the stuff. And you're not going to lose. By the way, it's a 30 minutes consultation, if you want to call it that way. I mean, there's no obligation.
And you're not paying us anything about it.
That's right. And you know what?
It's for free.
It is worth it. It is worth it. Now, ultimately, if you're considering putting your money somewhere, I mean, there's not a lot of places to put them, right? I mean, we know stock, we know Bitcoin, we know this, that. Some are quicker, some are slower, some give you better yield than others, some are stable. But if you're in real estate, I mean, this is probably one of the best hot places in the world where you can have yours. And again, like we reiterate this over and over, you're in a place that is safe because the conditions are making it safe. And by the way, I want to just add something. This is important because we have this, as a real estate, person personally in the States, you know, and licensed and also an instructor of real estate for many years, I can tell you this. It is always important to realize, because there are parts of the world where a lot of people do real estate, but they're not licensed, which means they just do it as a hobby. I mean, they're expert, they can sell you properties, but there's no real estate law or real law, as we say, that protects you 100%. You know, Monica and team are, you know, legitimate. They go through a course, they go through licensing, you know, so it's all through the government, it's all licensed, you know, so these are credible individuals with a licensing and follow the rules because their license is at stake. So again, that's a quick disclaimer.
We're in a 15 years old company called La Capital, so it's something that is legit. Everyone can go through the socials and can check it. I think that they're streaming us right now too. So I will want to say thank you for all the support from the CEO and all the other clients that are watching. And we will be doing this next Sunday. So you can call your clients. It will be easier for you to close deals if you're a broker. Or you can just tell to the friend if you want to prepare some questions. You can message us and we can discuss about certain topic. Right now, I will ask just if someone else have still some question that we need to cover and maybe we can wrap it up.
Oh, that's it. Anyone on the with us and anyone else that's daring to join now, hey, come on, it's your final.
We're streamed on Instagram, so maybe Tommy can say if someone on Instagram want to ask us question.
All right. Well, again, that even if you send us the questions later, we'll be able to respond, you know, through the Instagrams and stuff. And again, this will replay literally, you know, the whole week, you know, and it's going to continue playing all over the place. So if you didn't catch it now, you will hear it on the radio, iHealth Radio. You will hear it on the podcast and whatever the NBC network and iHealth Radio broadcast. You'll have us worldwide. So if you have a directory of radio, you
can just look at it. Nothing yet on Instagram.
Nothing yet. All right.
Yet on Instagram. Okay.
There will be. But like I said, we're gonna continue doing this, and so anybody else share it, you know, and hopefully someone will, you know, connect, and we will help them and guide them, and then we'll take it from there. All right. So, Monica, any last words of wisdom?
Yeah. Thank you so much for everyone that was here today. We will be here again on 4th of May. 7 p.m. Dubai time, 11 a.m. USA time, 5 p.m. Europe time. So every one of you can be prepared and joined. Thank you so much, guys. It's mean a lot. Everyone that was, I hope that you get something good from the presentation from today. And thank you, Hurricane H, for being your guest and your co-host.
No, my pleasure. And, you know, I think we just got one last, you know, guest on, so that I think Hiba just joined us. So I know you, Hiba, you tried to join yesterday, or you were testing the link, but, you know, I know you're here. Do you have any questions? Because we're about to finish this show here, but if you have questions, you want to come on, great. If not, you can just put it on the chat and, you know, we'll answer whatever question you have. All right. Well, you know, Monica, well, thank you for taking the time. As I said, I mean, it is 7, you know, p.m. on Sunday in Dubai. I mean, you do have a live. You do need to have a little time for yourself. And we're actually all over the world. We have massive, you know, we're all over the place. I mean, Tommy is in Europe. We have people in India. We have people in Dubai. We have people in the U.S. I mean, we're all over the place here. And so again, look up for the replays and, you know, connect with us. The Calendly link will be available there. Again, book your time, not to lose anything. If you know someone who's interested, have them book it again. And let's talk and see what's up. All right. So that's it for today. And we'll be resuming this discussion next week with more stuff. Probably we'll hit more on the properties, what's available, how you can do it, the different plan payments and all the stuff. And just keep with us. It will be recurring. All right. We'll talk soon. I'm Hurricane H. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye for now.